Happy Saturday, listeners. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I've got an eclectic show for you today. It's we're going to start off with maybe the biggest lie, because it is a lie that affects literally life or death for you and your family. The biggest lie the Obama administration has yet attempted to perpetrate on the American public. Bigger than you can keep your doctor, you can keep your policy, your rates will go down. Bigger than there's no criminal activity at the IRS. Bigger than Fast and Furious. Bigger than anything. And it has to do with terror. About some documents just released, just kind of hitting the airwaves. Even the mainstream media is picking up on it just a tad. You're going to hear a lot more about this over the coming week, as we get closer to Netanyahu's visit on March 3rd. Go, Netanyahu. And we're going to tie that in a little bit to what's happening with DHS, so you really understand it, because the mainstream media, with the exception of just a few outlets, is trying to keep this foggy on purpose. And the Democrats are just lying through their teeth about it. I mean, it's really unbelievable, reprehensible, and tells you exactly how far or how low the Democratic Party has sunk in its lurch to the far left under our communist, Muslim-sympathizing, lying, quote-unquote, president and his minions. Because we're going to talk a little bit about that, too. I had a show, the link will be in the write-up for you, about the shadow government that Barack Obama was setting up. This is more than 3 years ago. And now we're seeing the fruits of it. And I'm going to give you three glaring examples that you can read about even in the mainstream media, except they don't tell you the underlying dark, sinister, shall we say, canary in the coal mine that it signifies. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the coming inflation. Yes, I know oil is down and commodities are down and, you know, everybody's saying, well, interest rates are going to go even lower and oil's going to go to $20 a barrel or $30 a barrel or whatever, depending upon which quote-unquote economist you talk to. But I'm going to give you the opposite story. Don't know when, but it's not an if. And finally, as I promised, this is going to be one of those shows where we wind up with some very specific family safety tips, this time on power. How to keep yourself in power under the worst, should we say, under the worst events, be they natural or, as the administration would like to call it, man-caused disasters. Other people call it terrorism. Islamic terrorism. Radical jihad terrorism, etc., etc. Even Egypt and Jordan call it that. Wow. Let's get started, shall we? We got a lot to cover. First of all, I'm sure that you have all seen, and if you haven't, please Google it up, the spectacle of Susan Rice. You know, Susan Rice of It Was All Caused by a Video fame. I mean, this woman is either a pathological liar or she's had a lobotomy by Valerie Jarrett there in the White House, and she's merely a mouth puppet. She is unbelievable, she is disgusting, and she is our national security advisor. God help us. And then we have John Kerry. I have never thought much of John Kerry. I think less and less of him by the day. This man is representing us on the world front. He doesn't show up in Paris after the Charlie Hebdo massacres with the other 40 world leaders. Never mind, the president was playing golf or watching the playoffs, whatever the hell he was doing. And then he comes in 4 days later with James Taylor, who sings You Have a Friend. Oh, you know, kumbaya. He sat in front of the Senate 3 days ago, I guess it was, doesn't really matter, this last week, and told us, and by the way, Barack Obama has said this several times too, that the world has never been safer, that we have never been safer, that it's the safest time there's ever been, and the chances of any type of terror problem are less than they've ever been. That was kind of what was parroted by Rice. That's what's been said by Obama in the past. Google it up. I mean, don't take it from me. Watch them on the video. Watch them mouth the words. Well, at the same hearing, the former head of the DNI, you know, huge mucky muck, Admiral General, I forget his name right now, it doesn't matter. The guy has a sterling record, decades serving the country. Worked under Obama in the Pentagon, ran the intelligence agencies for the Pentagon, that's different than the CIA, and the National Security Service. And he sat there and he just went off. I mean, I've really never heard anything like it. We're going to try and find the video and have a link here for you. He just went off. He called, basically, let me boil down his speech, but you should really listen to it. He called Kerry a moron. He came close to calling Obama a traitor. This is one of Obama's own guys. And he summed it all up by saying that it was reprehensible and irresponsible to mislead the American people on the dangers that face us, which are the greatest in the four decades he served the country, bar none. He was then followed up by Clapper, again, Obama's guy, and head of the, shall we say, domestic intelligence agencies like the CIA, who basically said the same exact thing. The worst situation he's seen in 45 years of service. We are at the most risk that we have ever been. Violence is out of control. He cited some studies, including one that said there are more deaths to terrorism, and we're talking hundreds of thousands, folks. We're not talking a few here and there. The few that you hear about. Hundreds of thousands in 2013, and that was going to be eclipsed in 2014 and would be eclipsed in 2015. Here are the top two intelligence guys in the United States, both of whom, one of whom works under Obama, the other worked under Obama, calling Obama, Rice, Kerry, and the rest of them liars. And of course, they happen to be correct. They are liars. Because just on Friday, that's yesterday, documents that have to do with the bin Laden raid, the documents that they got off his computers and took when they offed that creep, have come to light. The administration has been trying to hide these documents from the American public, contrary to their oath, not only to keep the American people safe, which is their first responsibility, which we know they really don't care about, right? They don't care about your health. They don't care about your tax returns. They don't care about your privacy. Their FCC, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, voted to begin government control of the internet. I mean, not even in Russia. I mean, they have to shut it down in Russia. They don't control it. There's a difference. You just make sure people can access it. But you don't control what's on it. I mean, they've gotten done what despots around the world have wanted to do for years. Except it's not quite done yet. So we have an administration who, for political reasons, and because, go back to my show, I'm going to have a link to it in the write-up, I am absolutely convinced, more so and more so and more so with every passing day and every passing revelation and every come-to-light lie of this administration and its minions, that Barack Obama, fueled by Iranian-born in Tehran, Valerie Jarrett, wants Iran to get the bomb. It's not that they're ambivalent. It's not that they're incompetent. They want Iran to get the bomb because they deserve it, and because it will uplift brown-skinned peoples, and because it will even the playing field between the poor struggling revolutionaries, and the evil colonial powers of Europe and America. In fact, go back about 4 or 5 weeks. Maybe we'll put that link up too, where I give you the background, which, by the way, did you notice? All of a sudden, some of the medias are starting to talk again about Barack Obama's background. I mean, how do you expect anything less than a communist, Muslim-leaning, bad things about Islam don't exist, who cares about the American people, I care about me and my ideology mentality? You know, we're all shaped by our empirical experiences. Barack Obama is no different. And we should have known what we were getting into. Shame on you who voted for him the first time. And absolute, incredulous, quadruple shame on you the second time. Once stupid, twice a fool. And who knows what might happen in the upcoming election. We might repeat the process and elect Hillary, who could be worse than Obama in some respects. But I digress. These documents that came to light, these are documents which absolutely, explicitly show. You got to go online. They haven't released. They're releasing them kind of during the day yesterday and today. I mean, it's a huge deal, particularly right in front of Netanyahu's visit to Congress, and particularly at this quote-unquote critical stage in the negotiations with Iran. Yeah, I wouldn't call them negotiations. They're capitulation. Because they want Iran to get the bomb. And they really don't like Israel. And they really like to see Iran have the bomb. And those two things tie together. I mean, that's a horrible thing to say, and it's absolutely, I am convinced, true. These dots are so plentiful, you don't need to draw a line. They connect to one another. These documents show that Bin Laden was not the retired old fart strolling around his garden, cowering in fear from the American presence there in Pakistan. No, quite the contrary. He was linking all these terrorist groups, stoking the flames of ISIS. Bin Laden was brilliant. And he was no more in retirement than, you know, than I am or than you are. He was at it every day. And the fruits of his labor are becoming apparent with this rapid growth in jihad, really across Europe, across Asia, across Africa, across Mideast, in the form of many different groups which he was threading together. The caliphate, which was his dream, that ISIS is now solidifying with the help. That's right, with the help of our president and our national security advisor, Susan Rice, and our secretary of state, John Kerry. These documents are mind-blowing, folks. Iran, with whom we're negotiating right now, offered safe harbor to Al-Qaeda for training for missions against America and her allies, and continue to do so. There's a secret nuclear facility that is devoted only to developing an atomic bomb. This is not peaceful use. This is not all the cute little facilities they allow inspections on, kind of, that are spinning 3% enriched uranium, that could somehow, if you really closed your eyes, be said to be only for domestic purposes. This is a secret facility that is absolutely one thing and one thing only, for development of an atomic weapon. We've already talked about in previous shows the fact that they are developing missiles to deliver it. And I don't think that a missile with a 3,000-mile range is needed to deliver it any place close. But we happen to be about 3,000 miles away. I guess that's just a coincidence. All right. You must go online. I'm going to try and have a few articles down below. I have a bunch of articles on the stuff I'm talking to you about today. But you must go online and look this stuff up. Politico, I think, the Drudge Report will have it. The Hill may have it. You know, and we'll see how much of it comes out in the mainstream media. Because what this does is tells us absolutely, positively, without a doubt, what we already knew and what the administration has been lying to us about. Iran cannot be trusted. They are hell-bent on developing a nuclear bomb. That is their goal. That is their endpoint. And this administration has been complicit in their in them doing that. This administration is aiding and abetting an enemy. That's called treason. T-R-E-A-S-O-N. And the Constitution prescribes the remedies for that. Should our Congress ever grow cojones and do something about it, or our military, hey, Joint Chiefs, knock, knock, are you home? You swore an oath too. And the oath wasn't to the President of the United States. The oath was to the Constitution and to its people. We the people. Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. These people have been sitting there lying to us about our safety, about whether our families live or die. I want you to understand the significance of this lie. I want you to try and sit back, close your eyes, and think about political animals, or perhaps they're just animals, that would put the safety and welfare of a country and all its citizens, including all those people that they profess to care about so much, you know, women and poor people, etc. Let me ask a question. If there's even a dirty bomb in a big city, who's going to be hurt? Oh, yeah, you know, all the workers who commute in from the suburbs and all that stuff. But, you know, what do big cities have a lot of? They have a lot of poor people. Don't they? So who's it going to hurt? Who would a major terror attack hurt the most? Not folks in the red states who are ready for this, who live out in rural areas far from a metropolitan area, and who are armed and have reserves of fuel and food and water. No, it'll hurt those masses in the big cities. They don't care, folks. I've been telling you this for years. These people don't give a damn. And any attempt to tell you that they do about anybody is an absolute bald-faced, flat, knowing lie. And these documents prove it, because Iran getting the bomb could be very well, in many ways, the most significant, the darkest, the most malevolent event of this century. It's that serious. And if you link the fact that Al-Qaeda is training in Iran with Iran's blessings, never mind Iran sponsor terrorism around the world, you don't think that if Iran gets a bomb, that they're not going to, I'm sure they'd sell it, but they're not going to just give it to Al-Qaeda and say, hey, you know, here's a little plaything for you. And let's look at this map of the world. See this place across the Atlantic? It's up to you to get it there. You don't think they'll do that, huh? And you don't think that our administration doesn't think they'll do that? Really? Even though we live in the safest times ever. And the threat of a terror attack is at the lowest it's ever been. Thank you, John Kerry, Susan Rice, Barack Obama, and behind the scenes, Valerie Jarrett. That's one of the reasons the end of this show is going to be about power, as in powering your home in an emergency. But one of the things I want to bring up right now is that we have on the economic front looming inflation. I know everybody is saying exactly the opposite. You know, I'm kind of a contrarian. I'm just a poor old hayseed. But when the money supply around the world, I mean, Europe has now geared up the printing presses, did a show on that five, six, whatever weeks ago. I've done shows on QE3. Go back in the archives and read them. When you increase the money supply, that is how many dollars exist or any type of currency exists, each of those dollars or each of those currencies is worth less. Period. There's no way around that. It may take some time for to all happen. It may be offset or forestalled by other events, such as the sink in oil prices right now, which has to do with the Saudis duking it out with the American fracking industry and a bunch of other factors, with Russia desperate for capital and selling its oil wherever it can, with discount oil being sold at 60% off by ISIS from their captured oil fields, which Obama allowed them to take, which has done nothing about. He hasn't tried to stop their production, their distribution, nothing. So don't think that these temporary dams, these few little sandbags against a raging river of inflation, are going to hold, because they're not. Let me give you some stats. Because of all these weird factors, we've seen growth in employment. I mean, it's still, if you look at the real numbers, much lower than it was, but it has grown considerably in the last 6 to 9 months, in part aided by the holidays. We've seen growth in wages. As a matter of fact, if you want to look at just some stats on this, 20 states now have raised their minimum wage. In the U.S. labor market, Americans are quitting their jobs to pursue other ones with higher pay at the highest level in years. The BLS calls the figure the quit rate. In October 2013, the quit rate was 2.4 million people. By October 14, that was up to 2.7 million people. That's because these people are leaving one job to go to another for higher pay. And wage growth is a major factor in inflation, just as employment is, just as people's propensity to spend, which is being fueled now, no pun intended, fueled now by lower oil prices, which are temporary. And then, of course, we have the money supply and debt. When you take all these factors together, folks, inflation is coming. And inflation, remember, I've done shows on this, is not the increase in the value of goods and services. It is the decrease in the value of the purchasing agent. The more dollars there are, the less each one is worth. The more dollars people have to spend, the more likely they are to pay a higher price or to buy the same goods and services with dollars that are worth less. So, if you look at kind of the future here in the next year or so, 45% of the reporting companies in the National Federation of Independent Businesses, pretty much small businesses, they're reporting that they now have few or no qualified applicants for positions they're trying to fill, like by 45%. And even in rural areas, like let's take Idaho, for instance. Let's take the Rockies. So in Idaho, the minimum wage remains $7.25. But in Oregon, right across the border, the hourly wage went up 15 cents, and in Seattle, they're raising it to 15 bucks an hour. Now, eventually, folks who are working in Idaho are going to migrate north to the higher wages. And the business owners in Idaho, and this could be any state faced with the same situation, are going to have to raise their wages. And as they raise their wages, their workers are making more. And to the extent oil stays down temporarily, that puts more money in their pocket. And people spend their money. More dollars chasing fewer goods and services. Because at the same time, many energy companies are shutting down production. Many manufacturers of or miners of natural resources, whether it's coal or whether it's this, that, it doesn't matter, have shut down their operations or slowed down their operations so that the surpluses, which during bad times built up and forced prices down, are going to disappear and collide with more money in the system, the Fed printing and the ECU printing, and more money in people's pockets, which they'll spend. It's the perfect storm. It really is. And inflation can be a horrible thing for the finances of your family. There's some things that you can use, inflation for, shall we say, for betterment. I don't advocate debt, but, you know, if you have debt, you'll be paying it back with cheaper dollars, et cetera, et cetera. That's not an admonition to go out and pile on a bunch of debt, folks. I'm just saying there are some silver linings to the inflation, cloud, if you're set up for it. To show you how crazy it's getting, Greece, we've talked about Greece many times, which is admittedly, the government has now admitted it, bankrupt, has just hit Germany up for more World War II reparations. I'm not making this up. Honestly, I'm not making this up. So, you know, Germany, when the Nazi forces occupied Greece in the Great War, Greece eventually paid 115 million Deutschmarks as compensation. This was 55 years ago. Well, Greece now says that that wasn't enough. You still owe us. It's, you know, kind of like reparations here with Obama. You still owe us. Of course, Germany has told them to shove it. And the relationship between the debtor nation, Greece, and the lender nation, Germany, has worsened even more. I mean, wait for the blow up over there, which we've been talking about. Which, by the way, will also add to inflationary pressures. All right, look. If you take kind of all this together, this appearance of a good economy, the growth in wages, the growth in employment, even though more people remain unemployed than ever in our history, the growth in money supply from printing by the central banks and the Fed, and the possibility, according to our two top intelligence people, period, and despite the lies of the administration, Kerry, Rice, Obama, Jarrett, you name it, right down the line, Nancy Pelosi, you should have heard her talking yesterday. What a moron. The only reason that the Republicans are fighting DHS and want to do a short-term spending thing is so that the government is open for the Netanyahu visit. Hey, Nancy, are we that stupid? I mean, we know you lie. Did you have a lobotomy? Has somebody frozen the last living brain cell in that concrete head, that concrete progressive head of yours? The government shutdown's over, Nance. The Cromnibus bill, which should never have been passed, has funded the friggin' government until next October, including, unfortunately, Obamacare. The only thing that wasn't funded was DHS. And the reason that DHS isn't quote-unquote funded is because DHS way beyond what the president told us, yet another lie, has been charged with the billions upon billions upon billions of dollars of printing green cards and work visas and ID cards, and you name it, for the illegal aliens, which Obama said he was simply not deporting. A complete lie. The deporting part was correct, which wasn't going to happen anyway. I mean, that's kind of like saying, I have an empty gun and I'm not going to fire it. But all the rest, he didn't tell you about in his executive order. Getting back taxes when you haven't paid it. Getting child welfare credits up to $25,000 per family. Driver's licenses, IDs, visas, work permits. He didn't tell you about that. And when it came to light, the Republicans, at least in the House, had the moxie to pass a bill which completely funds DHS. Except that small portion of funding for DHS which would implement Obama's lie, his illegal lie about really what's going on with the illegal aliens. And that is what the fight is about. It's not about funding DHS. The House passed a bill that funds everything but that small increment. Small, relatively speaking. It's still billions. The Senate Republicans, God only knows what they're doing, they tried to get that bill done, and the Democrats have filibustered even getting the bill to the floor for a vote, including McCaskill, who promised her constituency, and Manchin, who promised his constituency that they would not allow amnesty. And let me tell you, when you say you broke the law and you can stay here, and here's a nice big fat check from the IRS for taxes you never paid, and here's a work visa, and here's an ID card, and here's all the programs you qualify for at the expense of the American taxpayer and people who came in legally, that is amnesty. And already there's some Democrats, the progressives, trying to say, well, yeah, but they don't vote yet. I mean, if they're going to be doing all this stuff, if they're going to be paying these taxes and getting these benefits and working here, shouldn't they vote? I mean, that's where this is headed, folks. Progressives, I did a show on all of Obama's czars. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And I think we'll post it for you. It was the shows that I did when I told you 3 years ago he was setting up a shadow government. A government staffed and run by his yes man progressive disciples. And everybody laughed at me. You can't believe the emails I got. Well, here we are. The guy he picked to head DHS went on all the Sunday shows last Sunday and lied through his teeth about this funding thing. He not once did he say, well, the entire department is funded except for this small increment on illegal aliens, and I would like to see that funded, but please get the bill passed so at least we have the funding for the other 99% of the department. No, he played the same game as Pelosi and the same game as Barack Obama and tried to lead you to believe that it was all the Republicans' fault and they just didn't want to fund Department of Homeland Security. And then these people have the cojones to tell us in this time of terror, while Kerry is telling us it's the safest time in the world. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yes, I'm riled up. You bet. My producer's looking at me with wide eyes. I am really riled up. It's bad enough when you play with my rights under the Constitution. It's horrible when you play with my health and the health of my family. I grip my teeth when you play with my pocketbook and you lie to me. But when you put the safety and security of the country and its entire population at risk for your own devious ends, wow. You stepped over some type of line in my mind. And you know, over at the EPA tried to get control of all the water in the United States, including the water that drips off your roof into your gutter, folks. I'm not making this up. Google it. Because he who controls the water controls the planet. That was beat back, but it's not dead. Now we find that the Justice Department, Eric Holder, henchman to Barack, we talked about choke point. I posted articles on it in the last four shows where, since they can't get gun control, remember what Eric Holder said last week? His biggest disappointment in his tenure as Attorney General was that he didn't get gun control. Well, his Justice Department has been calling banks and telling them, you better not work with gun dealers, gun manufacturers, or these other industries that we don't like. That's called Operation Choke Point, which is just coming to light. I've had articles on it. We're going to do a whole show on this stuff because it'll just, I'm telling you, fire will come out of your eyes. So now we got DHS, the head of DHS. We got Eric Holder, and I think this new gal is going to be just as bad. We have EPA. We have the White House staff lying to us on a daily basis every time they open their mouths. We have the National Security Advisor, gag me, Susan Rice. And we even had the spectacle of an admiral, and you could tell he was very uncomfortable, lying to us when he was telling us, when he was the press guy for the Department of Defense. The DOD for the past several months until they finally removed him. Or maybe, I hope, I think, he probably went to him and said, you know, I'm not lying for you anymore. Take me off this job. I got a feeling that's what really happened. We'll find out sometime. And then you have Hillary Clinton, who doesn't have the cojones. She's too busy taking money from foreign governments, including Arab governments, talking about the war on women, while she takes millions, tens of millions of dollars from governments who don't allow women to drive, who perform clitorectomies, who don't allow them to get an education, but she can take their money while she's Secretary of State. Another lie. And you don't hear the administration saying a word about it, I might add. And then, then you have that, I don't know if you've ever watched him testify, but I mean, you just don't like him when he opens his mouth. The head of the IRS, who has lied through his teeth about Lois Lerner's emails, 30,000 of which have just come to light, and in a hearing 2 days ago, they're finally saying, gee, there might be some criminal intent here. You remember Obama talking to O'Reilly with that big toothy grin? Not a smidgen of wrongdoing, Bill. Not a smidgen. wow. Unbelievable. And look, you have the purge of high-ranking, top-notch military officers, partially through the scale down in the military and partially because they've been forced to resign, because they've been outspoken in their criticism of this administration and their criticism of the Joint Chiefs for not standing up to this administration. Hey, Joint Chiefs, again, knock, knock, where are you? You guys so cushy in your jobs, you don't want to lose them? Why don't you go back to those days at West Point or Annapolis and remember that oath? So you have all these folks, and it's the tip of the iceberg, because then you have the czars and everything else. Go back and listen to my show. This is the shadow government I was telling you about. And he is using that shadow government along with his phone and his pen now to impose his will against the Constitution, over Congress, and against you and me. As his pastor of 20 years would say, the chickens have come home to roost. More on that in future shows. Now, I'm gonna wind up here with, You know, we talked about water two shows ago. I got a lot of great emails on that. I'm glad that that helped folks and open your eyes. Let's talk about power, because power is pretty important. Power is refrigeration. Power is heat. Power is light. Power is life. So what you want to do is you want to have a generator. And you can go gas powered, you can go diesel powered, you can go propane powered. Some are kind of combo powers on that. Generac makes a really good generator. I've used them myself on the ranch. Northstar makes a really good generator. I've used them. The Generac is a little bit less pricey. But, you know, for $1,000, you can get a generator that runs all the key components of your house. I mean, maybe you can't have lights on in the attic, you know. But you can have something that works. And you can get an interphaser. So literally, you just have to plug it in. Something goes wrong, you go out, you flip the switch, you plug in the plug, you start the generator, and you are in business with the circuits that that generator has been wired for up and running, like your freezer, your refrigerator, your water pump, etc. Okay, you can also get some solar assists. You can get a windmill type thing, which is right there in your front yard. You can combine the two. Do some research. I mean, there's many things there on the market. Obviously, you need to have some type of gasoline or diesel supply to have a gas or diesel generator if it's going to last you more than, you know, 5 or 6 days. A good gas generator, just to give you an idea, will power about 5,000 watts. That's going to be, oh, maybe 4 rooms of your house. You know, kitchen, a bathroom, living room. And it's only going to run about 10 hours, folks. And it holds about 2 gallons of gas. I mean, each one is different. Go online. Look it up. Generac, Northstar. And look up some of the individual solar applications, which can also be phased in with a fossil fuel type generator. Same with wind. I mean, some of you don't have this luxury because you live in an urban area, I understand. But definitely, you need to start looking at an alternative temporary power source. And by temporary, I don't mean a day or two. You need to think to yourself how you can set this up so it can run at least a month, which, by the way, I don't think would be long enough. But at least a month, and preferably longer. And that may lead you to some of the hybrids. So, you know, if you are going to, the transfer switch, I would really recommend too. I was talking about just now. It's specifically called a transfer switch, which transfers from the box that brings in power from the outside world to the box that brings in power from the generator. Very worthwhile unless you want, you know, a zillion extension cords going in and out of open doors. So there's several types and sizes of backup generators. They can be stationary. They can be portable. They can run on all those different fuels. Some of them can run on more than one fuel. Those are good to have. A 5,000-watt generator should do what you need done in most homes. I mean, you need to check this out for yourself, but generally speaking, 5,000 watts would be about where you want to be, and the prices can range all the way from $500 to $3,000. Higher price doesn't necessarily mean it's a better unit, by the way. Troy built XP7000 30477 gasoline generator. That's Troy built XP7000 30477. Has earned top honors from Consumer Reports. Puts out 7,000 watts of power for 15 hours on a 9-gallon tank. It costs about $900. Okay, Generac. I talked about that a little bit previously. GPP 5500, 5939. That's GPP 5500, 5939. It comes in about third on all the studies. It costs about $700 and has almost the identical longevity and functionality as the second place unit. So this, and it's 5,500 watts, it'll do what most people need done. Obviously, always keep flashlights and batteries on hand. And rotate your battery usage so you don't, in an emergency, go to batteries that have played out, because they will play out if they're not used. They'll play out if they're used too. Alkaline and lithium batteries should be stored at room temperature. They should be out of sunlight. Don't store them in the refrigerator. The moisture will screw up the batteries, and by the way, is not very safe. Lithium batteries will last about 15 years on the shelf. Alkaline batteries about 7 years. There's nickel batteries too, and you can freeze them, but they'll still lose about 10% of their power, potential power. Get yourself a couple flashlights, including an LED flashlight, which puts out a ton of light. The best ranked batteries are the Energizer Ultimate lithium batteries, both longevity and power output. You might want to check them out. Plastic glow sticks. Check these out. They can work. Liquid chemicals, they emit light when they come into contact. You snap the stick, you got light. They don't last forever. But they're there when you need them. Okay. And by the way, you can make them cast off more light by putting them in boiling water. Candles. But remember, candles obviously don't last forever, number one. And number two, there's some safety issues. Don't have a burning candle out of your sight. Extinguish candles when you leave a room or you go to sleep. Keep them away from anything that's even halfway flammable. Curtains, furniture, books, paintings. Remember, paintings are oil. Trim the candle wicks to a quarter of an inch before you start burning them, because that'll keep your dripping and your depletion, shall we say, even. Don't use a candle when you're fueling equipment, like a kerosene lantern or gas in your generator. No. Gonna have a really bad day. And make sure you have a fire extinguisher if you're gonna be a candle person. You should have a fire extinguisher anyway. Remember, if you have gas appliances, you'll have gas, but your electronic ignition switches won't work. So keep a propane lighter, one of those long-handled, long-neck lighters handy for lighting your stove. Unplug all your electronics that are not plugged into a surge protector when the juice goes out, because you can have all sorts of surges and have all sorts of equipment damaged or ruined when the power does come back on, or even as your generator may come back on or off. It may run out of fuel, you get it started back up again. And there's other things that you can look into. There's radios that are hand crank and solar. I mean, use your head. There's battery packs that will power a cell phone. Not that I think cell would be working in one of these emergencies, but you never know. They got a little shakeable flashlight you can shake. It gives you a couple minutes of light, just enough to kind of get yourself organized for a longer light supply, a longer power supply. And remember that, if you're dealing with wind and you're dealing with solar as a primary or as an assist, there are cloudy days and there are nights. And there are days with no wind. So plan accordingly. I hope this has been helpful. And you know what? I hope you get yourself prepared, and I hope you never have to use it. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We'll talk to you next week.